come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week we are coming at you with our first ever animated movie on this podcast.
Yes, we are.
I think we've done one animated on, Perfect Blue.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, on the other podcast. But yeah, this is our first action animated movie.
Yep.
And we are going to be doing Akira from 1988.
Yes, we are.
We're just getting out of Asia in our Elm Street episodes. I was thinking that. And yeah. Brooke picks a Japanese animated movie.
Yeah.
This is the first time watch for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Literally, like, I knew nothing of this movie. The only thing I knew about it was, like, the iconic, like, movie poster and, like, motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Literally no idea what it was about.
Me either. And this took a weird turn for me.
I
thought that this movie was like about a biker gang or like this one guy who's rides a motorcycle, and it's not that at all.
No, it's not.
That's a very small portion of what this movie is.
Yeah. It makes an appearance in Ready Player One, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
that's right, I forgot about that.
You know, but yeah, we'll talk about it more later. But
yeah,
what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, like, it's a very iconic movie, though. Like, a lot of people love mm-hmm. and adore this movie, and I think it's on the IMDb top 250, and it's on like the top 100 animated movies. So it has a lot of recognition.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we talk about it too much, we'll kick off our box office news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
So Bettina's boss was gifted a case of beer, and he doesn't really drink beer, so I got it.
You know, okay.
Lucky me.
That's cool.
So I got a case of Bo's Lug Tread.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I haven't had Bo's in a long time.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, it is good. Sweet. I'm drinking some Jaeger on ice.
Nice.
Yeah, because this is my new thing. I don't know what it is, but I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm a sucker for the star anise flavor of shit, apparently. Okay, what have you watched?
A couple things.
Did you get up to four this week?
Yeah, I think so. It's just four, pretty much. Real quickly, I don't think I mentioned it last time, but we watched Unknown Number, the High School Catfish. Because it's like the craze that was going around the internet.
Yep.
I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I didn't. Sarah watched it though.
Okay. Not a good documentary, like just the way it was done. I don't know, just wasn't great. Done. But the reveal and like the whole thing is like in fucking insane. Like you can't even fathom it. Like I don't know if Sarah told you much about
I've
it and
seen
stuff.
It all over the internet and shit. Okay. Now that's why I haven't really rushed to watch it, because I know what the big reveal is and all that.
Yeah, so I mean, like, spoiler, like if anyone hasn't seen it, basically these high school kids were getting these like texts from a number like for like 2.5 years, almost 3 years straight, like every day, like message, like 50 to 100 texts a day, and like grotesque stuff, like fucking kill yourself, you little bitch, like just, and this girl's like 14, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out to be her fucking mother that was doing this.
Yeah.
Me and Bettina couldn't believe it. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
It's fucked up. Yeah. Anyway. Watched a Cocktail randomly. I don't know. Okay. It's on Disney Plus. So I was like, Tom Cruise movie. I heard it's pretty decent, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It was all right. Just kind of like more of like a rom com. Thought it'd be more like bartending in it, but anyway. Then watched 28 Years Later finally. Give it 4 stars. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I'm gonna watch it again though. And then after that, I threw on Nosferatu from 1922, the OG. Just never seen it before. Just classic. Just unreal, like what they were able to do back then. And then randomly threw on Shrek Forever After. I didn't have it logged on Letterboxd, so I was like, well, I better finish my Shreks before the fifth one comes out. So,
I think it's crazy that they're doing a fifth one.
I know, right? Yeah, but yeah,
Cool.
nothing too crazy. What about you?
I watched three movies. Watched Babysitter as part of my Hooptober.
Oh, nice.
I really enjoy that movie, man. I think it's so much
Yeah.
fun, and I fucking adore Samara Weaving.
Yeah.
I think she's great. Rented Friendship, just to log
Nice.
it. 2025 movie. It says that it's 2024, but it did have a worldwide release this year.
Yeah.
I was telling you, like, it's a good movie. I had a lot of fun with it and I enjoyed it. But dude, Tim Robinson is just, he fucks with me so bad, man. Like, the
Yeah.
secondhand cringe with him, it's just,
Oh, yeah.
he's
Yeah.
a master at it.
Yeah.
And then I also watched 28 Years Later.
Nice.
I thought it was okay. And then the last like 15, 20 minutes really grabbed a hold of me and resonated a lot with me. I don't know. I really loved that ending.
You see, I was kind of the opposite.
Really?
The last 15, 20 minutes, I wasn't a fan of.
Okay.
Kind of brought down my score a little bit. Like, just the way that, I don't know, it's not really spoilers, but like, just the way that it ended, like the main story of what the boy's goal was,
But
just kind of
you also thought that was the end,
a
because
little bit,
it's a
but
trilogy, right?
yeah, I guess.
So there's going to be more.
No, I know that, but like, I don't know, just like that part of the story in this movie,
But like,
but.
having the knowledge now that there is a sequel to this movie, do you like it a little bit better? Does it change your thought at least? Or
Not really, to be
no?
honest.
All right,
No.
that's fair.
And like I didn't the very ending, I thought it was funny, but I thought just kind of like totally changed the dynamic of the movie. Like I was like, what is happening right now? Like
I think that's what I loved about it, because like, I don't, spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't watched this movie, the fucking guy comes out over the top and I'm just like, who is this Saints Row motherfucker coming out
yeah.
in the fucking like zombie land? And he's just all decked out in like the Eastern Bloc type outfit with like the Adidas jumpsuit and all the chains. He's got grills in his mouth. I'm just like,
Yeah.
what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought the ending was a lot of fun. I know it's a big change of pace for the movie, but
Yeah. And it's like, okay, now there's a sequel. What's like, is it going to carry that same tone into it? Like, you know, are these same characters going to be in it? So. Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of the opposite of you. The last 10 to 15, I just didn't really like, but anyway.
Oh well. Yeah, that's all I got for movies. And for our box office from last weekend, I have a few new ones.
Nice.
In its debut weekend, in fifth place, we have The Strangers Chapter 2. It's brought in 5.8 million.
Did the first one get a theatrical release? Strangers Chapter 1?
I want to say yes, but I don't think it did very good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
But I think it came out like around COVID time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I want to say it was like 2022.
Yeah.
In fourth place, we have The Conjuring Last Rites that brought in 6.7 million. Third place, we have Demon Slayer with 7.1 million. Second place, Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie. I was really looking forward to this one.
I know. When I saw the trailer pop up on, I think it was like Prime or something, I was like,
Oh,
I
yeah.
think I'm excited for this. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
let's.
It brought in 13.6 million. So. And this one I'm legitimately fucking excited to watch. One battle after another.
Dude,
Leo.
it like I feel like because like we saw the trailer for this like earlier, like we knew this movie was coming out, and I was like not crazy excited for it, but like I like PTA and love Leo obviously, and like I think we like okay. And then you start hearing the reviews, and now a lot of people are saying that this is his best movie and the greatest movie like of this decade, like in a long time.
It looks so fucking good, man.
Yeah.
Like, I watched the trailer, like the full-length trailer the other day at work, and I was just like, I need to
Yeah.
see this movie like now.
Yeah. And yeah, and like I saw someone today saying that like the Oscars this year could be one of the most monumental, important Oscars, especially for the lead actor category. Because you're probably gonna get Leo nominated, Daniel Day-Lewis,
True, yeah.
Ethan Hawke, because he has
For
not for Black Phone 2, I think has another movie out that's doing really well. Timothée Chalamet and Jeremy Allen White, because the Springsteen movie comes out. That's kind of like could be like a passing of the torch kind of thing, you know, like. To have like those three legends who are like three of the greatest actors of like the past generation, and then kind of like the newer guys.
That'd be interesting. Sweet. All right. Anyways, yeah, that one was in first place. It brought in 22 million in its opening weekend, which is not a lot, but I mean, hopefully it gains some traction in the next few weeks. But yeah. What do we have for 4Ks?
4Ks. We got Airport,
Nice.
Airport 1975, Airport 77,
Okay. We saw the airports.
the Concorde, Airport 79. Never even heard of any of these movies.
Me either.
Dogtooth. I
Movie's fucking wild.
feel like I've heard of that movie before.
I want to say it's a Yorgos movie.
That makes sense. We just looked at the cover.
I could be
America.
wrong, but oh yeah, no, it does say it. Yorgos Lanthimos, yeah.
Oh yeah. American Pie. Another American Pie. The Bride of Frankenstein, 90th anniversary. Dracula, the Complete Legacy Collection. Don't know if that's just that movie. The Purge, five movie collection.
Sick.
No Telling. Interesting. Habit, Breathless, 1983, Sergeant Kabukiman, NYPD.
Okay.
All right, Nightmare on Elm Street 7 film collection.
Oh, it's only seven? Is that all of them? No, that wouldn't be all of them.
Yeah,
Would that be all of them? Yeah, it would be.
except the remake, maybe.
Yeah, true.
Life of Chuck.
Nice.
A Nightmare on Elm Street collection, limited edition. Raw Meat, aka Deathline. Interesting.
Quite the cover.
Christopher Lee in it, Donald Pleasance. Creepshow 2.
Nice.
It's a cover. The Good, the Bad, the Weird. Mama. As if that movie's getting a fucking 4K release.
Right.
Halloween 2. The French Dispatch on Criterion and Isle of Dogs. And then also the Wes Anderson collection on Criterion, which I looked on like our local my Canadian distributor that I get Criterions from. I think it's like on sale for like 490 Canadian.
It's 10 movies though, so it's only $49 a movie.
Yeah. But the wife would. I'd be sleeping in the shed, honestly, if I got that.
Just get a new credit card and put it on that, and she'll never even know.
That's true.
I hope she's not listening.
Yeah,
Yeah, that Nightmare on Elm Street one is interesting though. I might look into that. All right. Let's talk about this movie. Okay, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Akira from 1988, starting off with the synopsis. A secret military project endangers Neo Tokyo when it turns a teenage biker gang member into a rampaging psychic psychopath who can only be stopped by his best friend. Are they really best friends, though?
I mean, it seemed like they were until one person got power hungry.
This is directed by Katsuhiro Otomo. He did JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Steam Boy and some other anime movies and TV shows. For the cast, we have Mitsuo Iwata, who played Kaneda. Nozomu Sasaki played Tetsuo. Do you think this is like a precursor to Tetsuo,
I mean,
the Iron Man?
the end of it, definitely.
Right? I know, as it was playing out, I was like, huh, this is interesting. Mami Koyama played K, and Tetsuo Genda played Ryu. I didn't have any honorable mentions. I don't know if you did.
No. There was one movie that Mitsuo Iwata was in that I was going to pick instead of this movie, and that is Paprika.
Right, okay, yeah.
Just I've always the cover art of that movie is always like heavy interested and
Yeah,
in
it's really
it, so
cool.
but yeah,
Is that considered like an action movie
I
too?
don't probably not as much as this one, I don't think, but it
Yeah.
sounds like it, yeah.
I know I've seen that on some lists before too. All right, let's dive in.
Let's do it. So yeah, so talking about Akira from 1988. So the movie takes place 31 years after World War III. We are in 2019 Neo Tokyo. So basically 31 years ago, the government in Tokyo were doing experiments on children, and people thought that Japan nuked Tokyo, but in fact, it was possibly a kid named Akira who basically got too powerful and destroyed Tokyo himself.
Very much like a Stranger Things type story.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff in this movie that made me think of other movies or TV shows, like you said, like Stranger Things. And I absolutely love the style of this movie. The soundtrack and score, fucking amazing. Like Cyberpunk 2077, like vibes, like Blade Runner made me think of Blade Runner a lot.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, Blade Runner is a big one.
Just I really love the style and like tone of this movie. Yeah, and like you get that right off the bat, like you're introduced into this like punk style look, like dirty bars, people like having sex and kissing each other, fights happening. All these different biker gangs, pretty much, they don't control the city, but like they're in like school and stuff like that, like these kids, but it's like very like no one, there's no like there's cops, but like I don't know, it's not very controlled, I guess, right?
Did you read the trivia on it, like for
No,
the
I didn't.
animation?
No.
So the movie consists of 2,212 shots and 160,000 single pictures, which is 2 to 3 times more than usual, using 327 different colors, which is another record in animation, 50 of which were exclusively created for the film. So the reason for this statistic is that most of the movie takes place at night, a setting that is traditionally avoided by animators because of the increased color requirement. So they were just like, fuck it, we're just gonna roll with it. But like 160,000 single pictures to make this movie. Nuts.
Yeah, crazy, crazy. Yeah, so we are introduced to Kanata, or by the way, they said it says like Canada almost. And they're in a little bike gang. I don't know if they ever say like what the game their gang is called.
The capsules.
You know, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, that
Yeah.
makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because at the end of the movie, we see that Tetsuya is asking for capsules. Okay, yeah. And we're introduced into Kanata's bike, the iconic bicycle, which I thought for the longest time, like either like Kanata was Akira or like the bike was like some special bike, like had superpowers or something.
Up until I watched this movie, I thought, yeah, the main character was Akira, and that's why this movie was named Akira.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the case at all.
No, not the case at all. Yeah, right at the bat, you get introduced into to this bike. It's a very special bike he has. Like it was specially made and designed just for him. Only he can kind of ride it. Like there's certain ways that you have to like kind of set up in order for it to like go and not stop. So they are chasing and fighting this other biker gang known as the Clowns, I think. And yeah, just very like anime chase. You see like the leader of the Clowns has like this crazy like Mad Max bike, has like 20 mufflers on it, and he and like it just starts off violent right off the bat. Like, you know, these bikers fight each other and then they don't get stopped by the cops. And yeah, so that happens, and then it cuts to a guy kind of running away through like the crowds and stuff like that, because like protests and stuff happening on riots, and there's like this little boy, it looks like kind of like a zombie, like he is like really like pale kind of looking, and like
Like gaunt.
yeah, exactly. And then while they're like they're being chased by these dogs, and then the guy just turns around and fucking shoots the dog, and like blood everywhere. Was like, okay, all right, this is what we're getting into.
Yeah, they set the tone real early.
They did, yeah. So yeah, there's all these protests going on, and the boy and this guy are running away through into like the open space, and all the cops see them, and they end up shooting at the guy that's trying to like take the boy away, and then they're like, stop shooting, like stop shooting, there's a little boy. And then they go up to the boy, and then he tell he the guy tells the boy to go to Ryu, who Ryu is, I don't entirely know for sure, like I think he's some either a cop or he's like some form of another government, I think. And anyway, so this little boy like starts screaming, all this glass breaks around, buildings falling down. So like, you know, this kid is like something special, like there's something going on with him. He gets up on like this bridge, and Tetsuo, who is part of the gang, is like, I think they're escaping the cops or something like that, hits the kid, and the kid is alive still, like nothing really happens to him. You're like, what the fuck is this kid? Like, is he an alien? Then like these like ships come down, like this like little kid, like gaunt kid in like fucking floating chair, and you're like, is this kid an alien? Like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, it was so confusing, man.
It was, yeah.
So I watched this like 1.5 times because I watched the first
Okay.
half last night. But I wasn't super into it. So then I was just like, fuck it, tonight. I got home from work and it was only me and the boys home. So I just restarted it right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And like having a little bit of the knowledge, it made a bit more sense. But like on that first watch, I was like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, because like he says like, oh, we can't survive that long on the outside, and you're like, okay, like, and then they end up taking Tetsuo.
And his voice is like he's a small child.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
And the truth of the movie, we see this colonel guy who's like this big kind of government guy who's like leading the charge of like these kids and like all these military dudes. So you know that he's up to no good, like, you know. And so the cops arrest Kanata and the rest of his gang, and they're being interviewed asking like what happened, who was that kid that took your friend away, and like they really have no idea what is going on. So they are at the station, like all these like gangs are like in this hallway being interviewed, and then like I love this scene because some guy comes out with like a grenade and like fucking lights it, and then like it doesn't fucking go off. Then all the cops just fucking beat the fuck out of him, and he gets pulled away, and then like, and then the guys, the one like colonel or whatever, is like, all right, you guys can go. And then one of the, I think Yamagata, one of the gang members, like comments about, okay, pops. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? I'm 25 years old. I don't even have a kid yet.
I'm not even married yet.
And then Kanata asks if they can bring Kai with them, who I still don't know who exactly Kai is.
Yeah. 'Cause he just like kind of sees her in the crowd and he just kind of becomes infatuated with her.
Yeah, because she was with Ryu, so she's like part of that like military gang who's like trying to figure out what's going on with like the colonel and these kids. But then later in the movie, she ends up having powers as well. So like I don't know if she's had them all along, or she kind of gained them, you know, throughout the movie, like kind of Tetsuo did.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we see that the colonel and all these people are doing testing on Tetsuo, and there's a doctor there, and try to explain it a bit without being too confusing. Because this is one thing about the movie that's like it's kind of a bit all over the place, like it's kind of
Yeah,
hard to follow a little bit.
it's a lot.
So basically, this doctor has these like patterns that he sees like in their brain, and he's like, this pattern here is the kid who his name was what's his name, because there was Kyoko, who was the girl,
Onishi? No, not Onishi.
Takashi.
Takashi.
Yeah, Takashi is like the little boy at the beginning,
Right. Yeah.
and you see like his like pattern is like, I don't know, bigger, and like has all these different wavelengths, and like he's like, this is Tetsuo's, and like it's like getting there. But I don't know how, like, did Tetsuo have these powers all along, or is it just when he ran into Takashi that he kind of gained a bit of the powers that he had?
I don't know if it's like 'cause his brain has like the capabilities of having these powers.
Maybe, yeah.
So that like he recruits these kids to like kind of have them harness the powers. I don't know.
And so this doctor wants to figure out Akira's patterns, who they mentioned Akira throughout the whole movie. You don't really find out who it is until like the very, very end of the movie. And he believes that Tetsuo's pattern may help kind of figure out Akira's pattern and how he became so powerful and stuff like that. So Tetsuo ends up escaping. Well, he saves a few times out of this jail thing. But he ends up taking Kanata's bike, and at this point he doesn't know that he has like powers yet. Like he is talking to what's the girl's name?
Aori.
Kaori, yeah. It's like his girlfriend friend kind of thing, and he asks her like, can we like run away together, and she's like, well, where the fuck are we gonna go? But then so they're running away on Kaneda's bike. The bike breaks down, and then we see this other gang catch up to him, and they start beating them up, and then they grab Kaori and just fucking rip her shirt off, like fucking see tits, and I was like, okay, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And then just fucking straight punch her in the face. It's like, holy shit, man.
Yeah. There was one point too, like they were in school. It
Yeah.
was all the boys are lined up and they're like, oh, even though you're under 15, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, first of all, these guys are all in a biker gang,
Yeah.
motorcycle gang, like
Yeah.
not bicycles, and they're under 15. And this girl right now is dating a guy who is under 15. So we can assume that she's no older than 16.
Probably, yeah.
We just saw her tits.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's animated, but still.
Yeah. And I love, I don't know, was it the colonel that was in the principal room with them when he like goes up the lawn, he's like, smarten up or whatever, and fucking
Yes,
slaps them all in
Maximal.
the face. But yeah, then we see Kanata in the game. They come back for Tetsuo. But then the colonel and all of them, they find him and take him back, and like this is where Tetsuo's like mind is kind of starting to go crazy, like he's having these pains in his head, stuff like that. And then we meet the little girl, what's her name? I already said it. Yokoshi? No.
Kaori?
Yeah, I think Kaori. No,
Or his
Kaori is no, not the girlfriend, the little girl who has the
oh,
powers.
Kyoko.
Yoko. She's like in this like bed thing, like is like covered in glass, and we see like the number 26 on her hand. And she ends up having a thought or dream of what did she? She ends up seeing Akira or something like that. I forget what she says. But yeah. Yeah, she says that she met Akira. Something like that. And that, yeah.
It's so weird too, because like these kids seem to like almost possess other bodies.
At least a couple of them do, yeah.
Yeah, but then like they'll just randomly disappear from the real world.
Yeah, because I think Kiyoshi can, like the girl, she can like teleport and she can also like kind of read people's minds, I think. Yeah. And now, and then we see the colonel is at the original base where they kept all the kids, and we see like all the different doors. Each different room like has a certain temperature that it's supposed to be at. And then they come to room 28, which was Akira's room, and it's like, excuse me, covered in ice, like it's like absolutely like frozen. Yeah, and then we see Kai, she's with Kaneda, and they're like kind of like Ryu and them, they want to sneak into this lab where they held the kids. We also see that there's like a parliament meeting with like all of the I guess government people, and we see the colonel there, so he's like also a part of this like this council, high council kind of thing. So like this movie is has a lot of different characters and people in it, and it just kind of shows like I feel like it's just showing the good and bad people, but like you don't really know who truly are like the good and bad people, right?
Yeah, true.
I feel like that's kind of like the point of the movie, right? Like Kanata in the game, you know, they're a gang, so like you'd assume that they're bad people, but
Like, they don't really do anything bad. Like,
yeah.
the capsules don't seem bad, but the clowns do. Like, the clowns just seem like they're always causing havoc everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like,
Yeah.
they tried to rape a girl. Like, they're
Yeah.
fucking beating people up all the time.
Yeah. And then like Tetsuo like becomes this powerful person and is like fucking destroying everything. But really, like, is he really a bad person because like he was made this way and like you know, he's kind of innocent, like same with the kids, right? Like, so yeah.
I think he just so with Tetsuo, because at start, remember I said like, well, was he really his best friend? Like Kaneda is just such a fucking asshole to him throughout the whole movie. Like from start to finish, like he's always like talking down to him, acting like he's so much better than him. And like this becomes a big issue in one of like the last scenes of the movie, with him and Tetsuo. But it's just like, I feel like Tetsuo's just constantly been beaten down for his whole life. And now he's got this power and he's just gonna fucking unleash it. He's just like, look who is the weakling now. I'm gonna fucking destroy bridges and shit.
And another movie this movie reminded me of was Chronicle.
Fuck yeah, I was just gonna say that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then the movie, I don't know if this was the part that you're talking about last night where we could have talked about this
Yeah.
movie on a podcast at Elm Street, but we see Tetsuo, he's back in like the lab or whatever, and he's like in this kind of cell basically. And I don't know if they were dreams or like if it was the kids, because we see like the kids come out of these things, right?
Yeah.
But there's this fucking giant teddy bear monster thing that has like a fucking lizard for a hand, and then there's like a bunny and like fucking grotesque terrifying shit. There's like
Yeah.
he's like summoning like milk, and like I don't know, I didn't know what was fucking real and like what was going on.
It got wild for a little bit,
Did and then Tetsuo escapes from his room, and we see like a doctor come up with like two like soldiers. And he's like, Tetsu, like you shouldn't be out here. Like, what are you doing? Like, you need to get back in there. And like, you know, I was like, doors like fucking torn to pieces. And then the camera pans out, and all of a sudden, just these guys just fucking blow up, like blood everywhere. And they're like, okay. Tetsuo has grown a bit powerful. Yeah, so then meanwhile we see Ryu and Kai and all them, they are in the sewers. They made it into this facility, and we see like this like light, and like you're like, okay, what the fuck is that? And then we see it's like these jet ski like gun fucking things, and like we see one guy just get absolutely fucking destroyed by one of
Yeah.
these.
They remind me of the hovercraft things in one of the Star Wars movies. Remember they're going through the forest.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then but then Kai and Kanata, they end up getting one of these things and go into like this where like the water comes out, and like this place is massive, like it's huge.
Yeah.
So then we get back to Tetsuo, and this guy is just like, he is like fucking Jean Grey, man. He is just like blowing up like the concrete and the ground, like throwing stuff. All three of the kids are here, and Takashi's the little boy from the beginning, and he wants to kill the kids because he feels like they caused him, like they brought him here, and they're the reason that he's like this. And then he finds out because the little girl tells him that Akira might be at the Olympic facility. So he's like, okay, well, I'm fucking going after Akira then. And Kanata ends up showing up here. And yeah, it doesn't really go well for him because, like, he thinks that this is where he kind of finds out that, like, Tetsuo has these crazy powers. And Tetsuo is, like, on a mission basically from this point on. We then see someone from the High Council comes and tells the colonel that he is stripped of his duties and will be placed under arrest. And the colonel basically plays an Uno card and says, you know, Uno reverse card, and basically is like, no, I think that the council is disbanded and you're under arrest. And so basically the colonel is like taking over this whole government. So do you think like the colonel it's like what, been 31 years. So like, do you think he's been a part of it like the whole time doing this testing and stuff like that? Like,
He looks like he could be old enough to be, yeah.
yeah. One thing I don't really know is, do you know like what the whole reason of why they were doing this testing in the first place on these kids?
Yeah, I don't think it ever really explains it.
No, I mean,
Unless I
not that
missed
I
that,
know of,
but
yeah.
because
Because I
there's
know they
that.
get the the flashback at the end of the movie that we see.
But there's that little guy too that's fucking, we see him running around every once in a while. He's got fucking like spit dripping out of his mouth and shit. But yeah, I don't know if they ever explained why. Or like how they figured out that these kids have these powers.
So now we see Tetsuo. He is ends up at the bar where they hang out, and he tells the barman that he wants capsules. And then the next thing we see, Yamagata or two of the other gang members show up, and like the place is like absolutely destroyed. And they're like, what the fuck happened here? Then like you see Tetsuo like fucking hanging up on this thing. And then they realize that Tetsuo did this, and Yamagata, whatever his name was, is like, okay, Tetsuo, like, I'm gonna fucking kick your ass. And doesn't know that Tetsuo did all this, like, you know. And then you find out that Tetsuo ended up killing Yamagata, and the other guy ends up getting away. Yeah, and at this point, too, we see, like you mentioned before, Kanata is with Kai. And they're looking for Tetsuo because he was going after his bike. And then we see Kai like kind of walk away, and then Takashi is there, and they're like walking across the water, like on top of the water. And then Kanata goes in the water and he like sinks down, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck's happening? Then we see them kind of like fade away. So you're like, what the hell? But you kind of learn that Takashi can like teleport people kind of like with her mind. I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that happens. So we see Nezu or Nizu. I don't know exactly what his role was, but he was one of the guys that was like burning all the papers and stuff like that whenever
Oh,
they knew
yeah.
that they were shut down. He ends up shooting Ryu, and then like all of the riots are happening. You see this Nezu guy. It's like shoving the pills in his mouth and just fucking has a heart attack and dies. And they see Ryu is still alive, but he ends up dying too. And we see like all the military have like all this section of the city blocked off. And we see like this helicopter like get tossed through the fucking the streets, and then you see like all this smoke, and then you see Tetsuo. And like from this point on, every time Tetsuo comes in, you get this like sick fucking score. Oh man, I loved it.
And like from this point on too, for me anyways, like it very much reminded me of like Dragon Ball Z. It just I don't know, not so much like him, but just everything that's kind of going on and how he's able to like fly around and he's got this like insurmountable amount of power. And yeah, with like with the score and everything that's going on too, it just it, I don't know, it's very reminiscent of it.
Like the last half of this movie, like I would say is like feels more like true like anime, like Japanese anime,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Whereas like the first half is like just feels like kind of like animated movie. Excuse me. But I love this scene because he like looks into one of the shops and sees like this like red, like I don't know, like fabric. And he takes it and fucking puts it around himself like a cape. I thought that was so sick. And then we see like all these kind of followers, stuff like that. They think that he is Lord Akira. So we get like these kind of like religious folks who like, you know, worship Akira. Yeah, we see Kanata is getting his bike. We see like these people using like these like beam guns, and they're like shooting the fucking council or the religious people behind like Tetsuo.
Yeah.
And then he just fucking goes ham and destroys this whole fucking bridge and kills like, I don't know, 500 people.
This bridge scene was fucking crazy.
Yeah. And so yeah, he ends up getting to Akira's cell. He makes it in there, and then Kai is in there as well. And like at first I thought like, oh, is he gonna fight Kai? Because like it seemed like Kai has powers too. But you don't like fully see it, right? And then you see just this giant fucking cell getting lifted out of the air, like remind me of like, I don't know, fucking Magneto. Like there's just so much in this movie that just reminded me of so much. Like I can see why this is such like a kind of like, I don't know what word I'm looking for,
It's
but
very like influential movie.
So he ends up opening the cell and it's all these like capsules in there, and he's like kind of confused. And the colonel says, like, you were looking for Akira. Well, like, this is him. Like, he is basically all body parts and nerves. Like, it's just like his like stem cell or whatever. It's like, this is what he became because he became too powerful. He couldn't control the power, basically. Yeah, so Kanata ends up showing up. And he has like the laser gun, and he's like kind of, he's somehow surviving against Tetsuo. I love the one like kind of back and forth they have. Like Tetsuo says like something like Kanata, and then like Kanata's like, that's Mr. Kanata to you. And I was like, that's fucking sick.
Even still, like with all of this shit that's happening, and he knows that Tetsuo could easily fucking kill him, he still plays that card where, like, I'm better than you.
Even like in this point, like Tetsuo says, like, you've always bullied me, and like whenever I tried to like come up with an idea, you're just always like shoot it down, or like you want to be the boss. And then Kanata's like, well, it looks like you're the boss now too. And yeah, and then we get this fucking giant laser come down and just destroy Tetsuo and like cuts his arm off, and like there's like these fucking space satellite lasers in
This
space.
is where it got really fucking like it was already weird, but like it got really weird with this shit too. Just like with all the satellites and everything. And it becomes like a space race almost.
And then like they're about to shoot another one down, and then like a shield goes around them, and Tetsuo like put a shield around the both. I don't know if he meant to do the shield around both of them, but and then we see Tetsuo fly into space, which was sick. He takes out the space laser thing. And then he ends up making himself like a metal arm. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So yeah, they're at the baseball stadium now. He can't control his like arm that like fell off. And you see it like it's like metal, but also like fucking skin and like muscle that's like growing on it. And he's starting to not be able to control his power.
And it, like he's becoming angrier and angrier as the movie goes on.
So Kanata is there too, and the kids are also here. They're trying to take down Tetsuo, and like this whole ending kind of was like I didn't really understand what was going what was happening, honestly, at some points. Because Tetsuo ends up getting like fucking massive, like his skin and stuff is like just growing like crazy, like he can't control it. Kaori gets like sucked into this. We see her get like fucking crushed, like fucking blood everywhere. And Tetsu is like, I can feel her pain. And he's like, Kanata, help me. And Kanata's like in there too. And then we see what happens? Well, the kids have like Akira's like bottles all lined up. And they're like kind of like using their power to like, I don't know if like awaken Akira maybe. But the bottles break. And what the little girl, she transports the colonel to the tunnel for safety. And then you see like this like white light, and then you see that Akira is like alive, or it's like a part of him that's alive. And like the white light like makes the like giant Tetsu like kind of shrink down and go away. And then we get like a flashback of kind of the life of Kaneda and Tetsuo, like how they met, kind of like the life that Tetsuo was risen in. Like he was like an orphan, and then like Kaneda was also an orphan, I think. And then we get a flashback to like the experiments. You see like all four of the kids, including Akira, like kind of like you said, like Stranger Things, like in front of like these like their own tables, and they have all their own like power. And yeah, so I didn't really understand like the ending. We ended up seeing like this like kind of explosion thing, and, like Neo Tokyo ends up being destroyed, like all these like floods and stuff happen. And basically, the kids, I think, use their power to go into, I don't know, this like world or something with Akira. I don't know. And the only one who like comes out alive is Kai and Kanata. Don't know. What were your thoughts on the whole the ending?
It's confusing as fuck. Like, I'm with you. Like, the whole last, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And that affects my score too, because it's just,
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't really know where it's going, where they came up with this ending. Everything just kind of, I don't want to say falls apart, but like it almost does just kind of falls apart at the end,
Yeah.
unless we're missing something. But like, I want to watch it again for sure and just see if there is any sort of explanation that maybe we missed. But it's just, I don't know, it feels like it's just pure destruction for the sake of having destruction.
Yeah.
And then like the very end where like Tetsuo just creates a whole new universe.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like this movie is like 2 hours long, basically. And I was just looking up. So the original Akira manga consists of six collective volumes that were serialized from 1982 to 1990, and those six volumes contained over 2,000 pages of content.
Oh, wow.
So like I don't know. I'm sure that there's like a lot more in the manga, obviously,
Oh
right?
yeah, definitely.
So
Maybe worth checking out.
yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to talk about because like we don't really know exactly what the fuck was going on that last, you know, so. But yeah. Anyway, that's the way the blood splatters.
Surprisingly, quite a bit of blood in this one.
There was,
Yeah, it was a pretty violent fucking movie. All right. I feel like this is right up your alley until the very ending. So I am interested to hear what your
Yeah,
score
like
is.
I don't even know what the rating is on Letterboxd. I didn't even look at it yet.
I know what it is.
Okay. So I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I really love the art style, the setting, the score. I fucking loved the characters I liked. The story a little bit, but there's a lot of like what the fuck is happening, like unanswerable questions. Like I think I did definitely need to watch this again. Like it's on Crunchyroll, so I can watch it at any time. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like I wanted to like it more, but I just some of the story and stuff is kind of confusing. So I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah, I also gave it 4 to 5.
Okay,
So
nice.
yeah. I agree with everything you said. Like, I think the score was amazing. I think the animation style was incredible. I think that animation team deserves like so much fucking credit with what they were able to do and like how they broke records with how many different colors they used and like how many different photos they used. And it's just so much work went into creating this movie, and you can really tell that it's almost like a love letter for them. But yeah, like the ending just gets super confusing, and like throughout the movie, the story kind of gets muddled a little bit too. And it's just there's so many different characters that you have to try and remember who they are and like what their role is in the movie. And it gets confusing. But I think it's a beautiful movie. like visually and whatnot. But I think it's one that could benefit from a couple watches. Like it's very much like the Matrix in that sense, where like the first time you watch the Matrix, you're just like, what the fuck did I just watch? But you know that you like it, but you're so confused.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I think, yeah, I feel like a second and third watch could probably really help. Overall, I think it's a really good movie and a well-made movie. But yeah, all right, you guys know the scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. Sorry, I have a frog in my throat. The critics' consensus. Akira is strikingly bloody and violent, but its phenomenal animation and sheer kinetic energy helped set the standard for modern anime. So, based on that, how do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say 94.
Ah, you're close. 91%.
Damn.
That's on 55 reviews. The audience gave it a 90%. That's with 100,000 ratings, an average score of 4.3 out of 5, for an 8.6 out of 10.
Nice. Letterboxd has a 4.3 out of 5. Again, this movie is almost at 1 million watched, 994,000. So it's close. Let's see. Anthony gave it a 5 out of 5. I saw Jensen gave it a 3.5, and I think that was all I saw.
Okay. Letterboxd and Rotten Tomatoes love it. All right. That brings us to our cunning stunts. I don't know how we're going to rate the stunts in an animated movie, but we'll try our best.
I'll go I don't know, 4 out of 10, I guess. I think, like, I don't think we got enough motorcycle stuff, but
I agree.
I think what we got was great. And like the fight scenes, I thought were, like you said, like the last 30 minutes, whenever Tetsuo was getting really powerful, it just had that true anime absurd battle, you know. And so I go 4 out of 10. And favorite stunt, I'm gonna go with the first time we see Kanata get on his bike and he's chasing the clown gang. I just thought, like, the score dropped perfectly, and he's just driving through this cyberpunk, you know, Blade Runner type city, and just, I don't know, just the vibe of just that opening scene with him going through the city chasing after the clowns. I just thought it was cool, really
Yeah,
cool.
it's fair.
And stunt I would like to try, feel like it's an easy one. I'd like to ride that motorcycle. I mean, you know,
Okay.
is there any other choice, right?
It's a good choice. It's a
What
good choice.
would you?
I give the stunts a 6 out of 10. I don't know, just like I don't know how to do this, right? It's our first animated, so I was just like, I'll translate this into if it was live action.
You know, that's what I was kind of thinking too.
And like there's motorcycle riding, there's chases, there's explosions, there's guys fucking flying through the air and like bridges collapsing and shit like that. So I mean, I feel like if this was translated into a live action, it would be pretty hefty. So yeah, that's where my score came from. My favorite stunt, I said Tetsuo destroying that bridge. I just thought it was really cool. It was a really neat scene how they were like they filmed it at like the camera kind of like pans out and then you see the whole bridge just sort of collapse and all the people falling off of it. And like we'd seen his power prior to this, but like this one, it like really showed what he was capable of. And stunt I want to try, you said ride the motorcycle, and I agree, but I'd also want to be able to fly into space.
That's fair. Yeah.
or just fly in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Who wouldn't want to fly? Just
True. Yeah.
have that ability. But yeah, I'm glad you picked this movie. I think it was a good movie. I think we need to watch it again.
Yeah, definitely.
But I definitely understand why it is rated so high and why people love this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, it's time for my pick.
What you got?
Well, considering we're in October now, I figured we would do some action horror.
Okay, yeah.
And we're going to be talking about From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, hell yeah. I was wondering when we would do this one eventually.
Yeah, I haven't watched this movie in so long.
It's been a while for me too, yeah.
Yeah, and like we had talked after we did Kill Bill, we talked about how we wanted to like go through and watch all of Tarantino's movies. And I was like, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not his movie per se,
No,
but
but he's in it.
he is, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Sick. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I figured it'd be a fun one.
Yeah, it's good.
Plus, Salma Hayek, man. Like, oh.
Yeah, can't go wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Shoot us a message if you want. Thanks for listening to this episode on our first ever animated movie on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
And see you in a few weeks.
Yep. Talk to you
Not
in
a
a couple
few.
weeks.
2 weeks, not a few weeks. Yeah. Bye.